all spread your wings, close your eyes, let your love flow, come inside, spread your wings, and close your eyes, let your love flow. Standing on an endless horizon with our faith.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Welcome, welcome travelers to the electronic airways of Dog Poet Landia. The wind is in the willows and the swallows of the apocalypse are on their way back to Capistrano or something like it. It's animate karma looking for the summation landing strip. As the transponder radiates in sync with the arrival time of dark dimensions or the hour of departure for Ali Ali income free. Tonight the dog poet is hovering above the plane of deception, the land of illusion, the kingdom of manifest appearances that are not what they seem. It is the wasteland of sleep in the desert of dreams. It's a hard call to say that nothing is real, but that's the case. Everything we perceive through the senses is at the very least incomplete and at the worst wholly fabricated. A small selection of those who cannot be termed human in their present state manipulate appearances in order to control the perceptions of the masses. It's pointless to label them. We all know who they are and who they're employed by. They work for the Prince of the Air. Like the Verizon commercial says, we rule the air. That would be the airwaves, and the air is a metaphor for the atmosphere as a soundboard for vibrations. I guess that life, as we are compelled to know it, is a metaphor. We are not what we really are, but only what we have been shaped into to accommodate the lies of the world of shadows that surround us. I've looked at it from as many angles as I've been able to see from, and I always come back to the same thing. There's something within us that is real and lasting, and everything outside of it is not real and is not lasting. In times of darkness, the power of the world outside reaches its greatest intensity of impact on the mind. The collective resonance of millions of minds, trapped in the dream web, exerts a tremendous influence on most individual minds. It's almost like something from Invasion of the Body Snatchers. You walk through this world and you try to look and act like everyone moving around you, because at any moment one or several of them will turn and point at you and emit that silent scream like Donald Sutherland. Through the course of human history, there have been fellowships and places of sanctuary that have existed as places of refuge against the storms and confusions in a time of runaway materialism that could be easily labeled as mass hysteria. You may not be able to do anything about the world, but you can do something about yourself. Sanctuaries and refuges do exist in distant and shrouded locations. They exist in nether regions, and they also live within us. It might be said that finding such a place in the external world depends heavily upon connecting with the one within. That is why we are given the tools through meditation and yoga, in whatever traditions they exist in and by whatever names they are called. We are given these tools, but the majority of us are riveted to the TV and the iPods and all of the devices and delivery systems for entrancement that exist for that purpose. They exist to entrance, to hypnotize, to seduce and consume us. This is why alcohol is the approved addiction juice, and why tobacco is seen as more benign than marijuana. This is why war is preferable to peace, because there's not nearly as much money in peace. This is not so much money for the predators. when people are paid a different, decent wage and given comprehensive benefits. Tremendous benefits exist for the predators and their stooges, and their wages and perks are astronomical because of an enforced disparity between the classes. The reason the media, which is owned by the worst predators among us, is so down on conspiracy theory and the proliferation of information that proves that there are all these conspiracies is because they are the chief players in nearly all of them. Conspiracy is at the very center of their operations, and their conspiracies are all directed against the populations. Everyone showed up here from planets all over the universe in order to take advantage of the tremendous opportunities that are present in this time and place. They promptly forgot why they came in short order, because that is what the other side does. The other side believes in nothing but what is here and how they can exploit it. This has to be understood. They're not like you, and you are not like you either, because of them and their employer. They got a groovy thing going on, as far as that goes here, but not beyond. You can look at the situation here as a kind of game in which both of you are playing for the ownership of your soul. That's the only thing that's going on around here. We conspire in their depravities by engaging in the rat maze of behavior they set up for confusing and demeaning us. They play games with the currency. They raise and lower the standard of living to keep us in a state of apprehension and suspense. They create wars and states of terrible want in order to enrich themselves and also to keep us enslaved by fear. They stoke our hungers and pervert them in order to consume us with guilt and self-loathing. That's how it is. When you figure this out, you find there's not much here for you except to seek sanctuary and refuge, even if you don't know where that is located or how to get there. You have to make noise and you have to attract attention. You have to get the notice of angels passing overhead, and you do that by projecting light, which draws their interest. This is generated by aspiration and spiritual yearning. It's all pretty simple, but it seems far away and complex because we are far away and complex. We see all this as the hardest thing in the world. That's because we want to fit in here. We want to be part of the apparatus. We want to succeed, but we don't succeed. What we succeed at is in destroying ourselves by playing the game of competing for the ownership of our souls, by willingly giving it over to the soul leaders because we want what the soul leaders offer us but don't deliver on. They make fun of you when they're alone with each other and you're not around, but you're not around most of the time regardless, because otherwise you wouldn't be trying to immerse yourself in their game so that you could succeed in their world, where you can't actually succeed, because even if you gain the illusion of succeeding, you lose something of infinitely greater value in exchange for something of questionable and temporary value. The game is rigged. There's no point in playing, but somehow you still have to be involved in it, because somehow you have to make a living and possibly support a family and take care of so many of the things that demand your efforts for their existence. They control the medical establishment because there's a whole lot of money in it. They control the food manufacturers who make all the bad food that causes the health issues that you need expensive insurance for, so they can make money off their medical treatment. There are ways to live outside of this system if you're inventive, and you're reliant on the invisible to provide for you in every way. That's what I do, come rain or come shine. If the invisible wants to check and see how deeply I believe by testing or trying me, I go along with the program, because none of it is ever as bad or as unpleasant as trying to live in the other system. I just mentioned the key factor here. You have to rely on the invisible to provide for you in every way. No matter where you are at the moment and no matter what you think you're up against, you have to rely on the invisible to get you out of it and onward towards sanctuary and refuge. And you do your part by going within and maintaining a consistency in application. You already know that you don't get any good at anything unless you apply yourself in a regular fashion. Anything you're good at, you got good at it by doing it over and over until it became second nature. You're able to keep this up because you love doing it. If you didn't love doing it, if you didn't enjoy doing it, then you quit doing it soon enough. Unless you were forced to keep at it by your parents or some other authority figure, and maybe you got good at it despite yourself and learned to love it afterwards. Or maybe you're good at it, but you don't like it, and I can't help you with that. For me, it all comes down to God or not God. You can come up with your own way of doing everything and your own way of describing it and attend it with whatever superstructure of belief you want to include it. For me, it comes down to God and not God, and I keep it simple and uncomplicated. I don't need scriptures or dogmas. I don't need pages and pages of dense sentences from thousands of years ago. I don't need a huge population of gods, Buddhas, or saints, a library of books, hundreds of symbols, and endless mysteries. I just need the dynamic of God and not God. Either God is there or God is not there. If God is there, there is no problem, because if God is present, there can be no problem or difficulty, because when God is present, everything else is absent. If God is not present, then God must be sought after. God plays this game. this hide-and-seek game, and will hide because he/she wants you to look for him/her. This indicates a desire and interest on your part, and the degree to which you apply yourself to this is an indication of the degree to which God will meet you more than halfway. If you lack the enthusiasm and will to union, then God is going to leave you to your other pursuits until you tire of them or they bring you to the ultimate desperation that all not God leads to. This world is a hollow shell that is filled with ghost cities. These cities are whirlpools of sensation that burn up your substance and leave you hollow just like it is. There's a phrase in the New Testament somewhere about the men of sensation that are led after the things of the world and then bundled up like faggots of wood and thrown into the fire. You're cautioned against being like them. All the holy books are filled with the same admonitions. Nothing has changed since they were written except for the intensity of the distractions. Like I said, for me, all these books are of no great draw anymore. I prefer the direct contact instead of just reading about it. Within you is a homing beacon, and you have to listen for it. You have to still the mind, which wants to constantly take the shape of objects of desire and shadows of fear. This is what some of the exercises I passed on are all about. They're about stilling the mind so that you can hear the homing beacon and home in on it. It all comes down to how bad you want it, like the song says. How bad do you want it? Well, not bad enough. Or something to that effect. See, the thing is that all of us have heard about all of these things through our lives, given that we are the sort of people that would come around and listen to a radio show like this in the first place. You have to ask yourself, why have I been listening to and reading about these sort of things for all this time, and what has it brought me to? Where am I now? What have I come to in the stretch of my passage through time and circumstance? Time keeps passing and circumstance keeps happening, and for some of us, we are no closer, it seems, than we were when we started out. Something must be wrong here. For me, it all comes back to God and not God and the drive toward either. What have we done today? What will we do tomorrow? What passes through our minds when we lay in bed at night? And what passes in our minds when we wake up in the morning? This tells the tale of what is most important to us. Think about it. This tells you what is most important for you in the equation of God and not God. I can safely say that my life and intensity of focus has substantially changed from some years past, and that is because of constant applications to the task. It is also because God has never let me be. It has been a major struggle at other times, and I can tell you it has looked black as a moonless night at times, but you cannot let appearances affect you because that is not God. I recognize that it's tough, but it's only tough because of the pull of the not God and are allowing it to have importance enough to compromise the only important thing. It's like quitting something like smoking. It's a great deal easier when you're convinced that you're going to. It's near impossible when you're not convinced. I try to do these shows every week, and sometimes I don't want to do them. I don't know if that's God or not God thing. I just know that sometimes the things that I do bring pressure on me, and I don't know what anything means except that God feels good and not God does not. We're composed of elements that are at war with each other, and they cause us to be at war with ourselves. Meditation and yoga are our way of harmonizing the elements so that the house we're living in does not shake from the tension of conflict and competition between our elements. It's a long road through strange and uncertain terrain, and we have to have faith, certitude, and determination. These are boon companions. You have to seek the qualities of God and ask for them. You need them for your journey. What a world, eh? What does it all mean? It means different things to each of us depending on the relationship of God and not God in our hearts and minds. That is something we all have to attend to because no matter what we are experiencing, seeking after, regretting, missing, or wondering about, it is some permutation of God and not God. There isn't anything else. This is the important concept to get a hold of. Everything is either God or not God. Everything and everything is degrees of God and not God. And everything is made out of God to begin with. God surrounds us, permeates us, and composes our environment. If you're all about God, then eventually it all becomes that. Alive and radiant in surround sound and within you. The inner resonates with the outer. The opposite of that, we all know too well, by simply looking around us. Hearing and watching the news and reading about it. Observing the lives of others and the world in which we live. We all live in a world of our own creation. Some of us insist on being the architect, and some of us seek the help and assistance of the great architect of all things. You can rely on yourself. That's not God. Or you can rely on God. Now, God's there. That's an absolute truth. And I don't just think that or believe it. I know it. I know for a fact that God is real and that God exists. And there's no question in my mind, and I've had so many experiences that have proven it to me, that I just don't have any questions concerning his existence anymore. It just doesn't come up. And given then that God is real, God can be reached for and longed for, and if you're not getting there, you're not at the right level of intensity, and you're not including God in every event of your life. You have to have a constant dialogue going on in association with the God and yourself in everything that you engage in and go through. And, well, you can think about what the result of that might be if you employ yourself in that way. But if you're going through your days all day long and thinking about yourself and the things you want to do, and God doesn't come into the equation, then God is not part of the equation. Just you are there. And that's a very, very important thing to catch on to. How deeply does it penetrate into everything that you do in your life? Well, there you go. My friends, that time has arrived again when the broadcast has come to the end of its run. As ever, I'll see you next week, if there is one. In the meantime, think about that God and not God thing and how it applies or does not apply to you. It's all there is or ever shall be. That said, Hare Krishna, Aloha, and Haru!
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.